We've got on the phone none other than Pastor Brad Moody here to talk with us about apologetics. Brad, how are you going?
Hey, not too bad, Lawson. Thanks for the intro, mate. How are you?
Oh, man, I'm killing it. like we're in here, we're living our best lives. We are so glad that you are with us this morning. And we're keen to talk about what's happening in the world of the
biblical
Bible.
Health.
Yeah, I love that. Biblical health.
Yes, absolutely. So you guys will probably remember that last time we were talking together, we were discussing the biblical necessity of striving towards optimum health, and that God has not left us ignorant of the principles that promote it. And we were discussing and learned that there is a close link between the spiritual and the physical health of a person, that the physical health of a person will impact their spiritual health, and likewise, the spiritual health will impact the physical health of a person. It will direct them towards striving, towards being better health-wise physically as well. Now,
yeah,
this
is,
that point we were discussing. Go ahead, sorry.
Yeah, no. I just think that this point is so interesting, Brad, because where I grew up, people often think that these two concepts are absolutely disconnected. Like, you know, you take care of your soul or you take care of your body, but like there's nothing spiritual about physical health, and there's nothing in your physical health that will attach to your body. Actually, that will impact your spiritual health. I actually lived in a house in right in front of my house there was a church. I think it was a Catholic church in Brazil.
Yeah, right.
And I remember I would just walk by, you know, after that every Sunday, you know, people were, you know, happy. They just came out of, you know, the mess, but
yeah,
a lot of people were just like smoking outside of the church. Sometimes even the priest was smoking with, you know, with the congregants. And I was thinking, wow, it's just like they didn't see any connection between, you know, having health and spirituality.
Wow, absolutely. But I mean, the Bible doesn't give us any question on that. I mean, we discussed last time the body being a temple for God to dwell within, and that we have a responsibility to keep it both clean spiritually and physically. And that they, and I've seen this in my own experience. Maybe you guys know some people that have become awakened to the truth. And before they became awakened to truth, it seems as though God had led them through a journey of striving towards physical health, you know,
yeah,
and
they've
started to make inroads into that idea of becoming healthy physically. And then that seems to like preface their journey towards spiritual health as well. I don't know if you guys have seen similar kinds of things.
I have seen similar kinds of things. I don't know about you, Lawson, but I've seen things where, particularly people go on certain retreats where they are a little bit further away from the influences of technology and media, and they just like live a healthier life. A lot of cases, I've seen like really like tens of stories where people said, you know what? I just started to think about eternal things once I was in that natural environment, once I was looking after my health, once I had no, you know, I was not on cell phones or computers all the time. My brain just naturally started to inquire and become interested for spiritual things.
That's right. And I mean, you can see an example with Alcoholics Anonymous where they have this spiritual element to a very secular and not very spiritual course, but they have this element of dependence upon a higher power. Now, we know that is God, and that they're just trying to step around that to an extent. But look, the reality is that there is an association between getting well physically and being well spiritually. That's certainly that connection, and the Bible is very clear on that as well. And so one of the things that we were discussing last time was that modern objective research is now strongly backing up the original diet that God instituted in the Garden of Eden. And we discussed the China study, you guys might remember, that covered 8,000 statistically significant associations between lifestyle, diet, and disease. Now, this is completely objective, completely secular, completely outside of Christianity. These two researchers went on to discover some incredible connections between those things, and talking about how basically we need to be eating more plants. And this lines up very closely with the original diet that was instituted in the Garden of Eden, which was basically fruits, nuts, and seeds. And you can see that in the first couple of chapters of the book of Genesis there. And then what we were discussing was that after the fall, God made provision for the supplementation of this diet with what was called the herb of the field. And this, if you do some research, includes both vegetables and legumes. And it seems now that, God is trying to, is making sure that he is supplementing the diet based upon the results of sin being a lack of nutrient quality in the original diet, because sin was going to destroy that. And we can see that, you know, in nature. And if you guys have come across the adaptive species, the way that species adapt to their environment when there is a certain nutrient that they are lacking what they were originally eating has been taken away from deforestation or something like that, and then they go and source it from abnormal locations. Have you guys come across any examples of those sorts of things before? I remember there's one in New Zealand where there was a sheep there was a sheep problem where these birds were coming and they were like eating the kidneys, the adrenal glands of the kidneys of the sheep, because the birds couldn't find the nutrients that they needed in their original habitat because that was being destroyed by deforestation. And so just this whole idea of supplementation of the diet is what God was instituting there in the Garden of Eden after the fall of man into sin.
Okay.
So, interesting thing on that, it might seem pretty peculiar, but that's the reason why God was doing it. Now, don't miss this, that God in mercy is making provision for the lack of nutrients in the fruit, nut, and seed creation as a result of sin. Which leads us to the next question. So people may be asking, well, what about meat? Are we not supposed to be eating meat? Now, that's a great question. Do you guys have any insight into that?
Yeah, look, that's a great question, because a lot of times people say, yeah, but look, the Bible says, you know, that, you know, after the flood, no one, he said they were allowed to eat meat. It has to be good for you, right?
That's exactly right. And so you see that a few chapters later on, after the fall into sin, you'll notice Genesis chapter 7 talks about the clean beasts being taken into the ark by Noah, male and female, the beasts that are not clean, 2, but the beasts that are clean, 7. Now, when was this? It was just around that flood period. So Noah is commanded to take extra clean animals of certain types into the ark. And then after the flood, notice this, after the flood, God permits the eating of clean meats. And those details are found in Genesis chapter 9. Now, an interesting side point on this. Do you guys know if there was a specific way in which they were supposed to prepare that meat that they were to eat, the clean meats those are?
I think they were not supposed, if my memory doesn't fail me, they're not supposed to drink the blood. They had to drain the blood of that
meat.
Correct. Is that correct?
Absolutely. So God then, he makes provision for them to eat meat, no doubt about it. But they are told to not eat the blood. And there is also some provision later in Leviticus that says they're not supposed to eat the fat as well. Now, I remember reading this when I was a teenager and being like struck, like all the meat that I was consuming at that point in time was filled with blood. Like the stuff you buy from the supermarket, it's just got oozing blood. And I was like, I can't continue to eat red meat because it's got the blood in it. And the Bible clearly says to not eat that. Now, science is now backing this up, that the blood contains all the impurities of the animal and causes all manner of diseases in those who consume them. Now, back onto eating meat in general. Let's have a think about this. Was meat eating God's ideal? Have you guys got any thoughts on that?
What do you reckon, Lawson?
Sorry, about eating meat?
Yeah, do you think that was God's idea from the beginning?
Like no, maybe,
it couldn't be, right?
Yeah, it's pretty straightforward. Like ultimately, God is so vehemently against death, like, and that's what eating meat requires. You know, we can have the conversation about health, but I think just from the very outset, like eating meat shouldn't be like the A1 plan for humanity because it requires
that's
such
it.
Death. Yeah.
Look, it reminds me of a Absolutely. Passage that I really like. I think it's in Isaiah chapter 6, if I'm not mistaken there. Maybe you have that, Brett, closer to you. Where God says, you know, no harm shall be made on my mountain. You know, we're talking about a time in the future where
right.
everybody will know God and, you know, the lamb will, you know, eat grass with the wolf
That's right.
Yep. So basically God is saying, hey, my ideal was that there's no harm before and there's no harm in the future. So I think that aligning ourselves with that ideal of doing no harm to other living beings is quite aligned, quite in alignment with God's word. Unless, of course, you know, eating meat is a matter of survival, which in this day and age in Australia, I don't really think it is.
Yeah, you're nailing exactly where I was thinking as well, which is encouraging to me that we're on the same pathway. But this is the point. Like, after the flood, how much vegetation was there? I mean, how many plants are there to eat? But there's none, right? Yeah. So God instituting meat eating in this instant was a matter of necessity,
survival.
Not a matter of ideal, right? Exactly. Like you said, survival. God made the provision only when there was nothing else to provide for them. The vegetation had been destroyed completely. Now, this is the other point on that. Do either of you know the difference in age between those before the flood and those after the flood?
This is a good point. Significantly less.
I think when you read like, oh, so-and-so lived, I remember Enoch lived like 365 years before he got taken up to heaven. And then you have Methuselah, who lived like 969 years. They were living like almost like 1,000 years. And after the flood, I think it was like, oh, 200 years, 150, 110. It just like goes downhill from there.
Absolutely. This is the point. Like, they go from the 900s down to what? We're now like 70s is like average if you're doing well kind of thing. It's just an incredible shift. And it all seems to happen straight after the flood when meat eating is implemented.
So do you think that there might be a connection there? Do you think it might be a connection there between meat eating and the decrease in longevity? Is that a factor, you reckon?
Oh, absolutely. This is precisely the point. Like God says that there's going to be a reduction in age. And at that same point in time, he offers the supplementation of the diet like he did just as they moved out of the Garden of Eden with vegetables. Here he supplements with meat because there was nothing else for them to consume. And this was the only way for him to keep them alive. And so he gives them the meat provision, and you see a drastic drop in lifespan quite quickly thereafter. Because like you say, we were never supposed to consider, this is the reality. We're eating secondhand food. I mean, cows get massive by eating greens.
For someone that says you cannot get strong just by eating plants, they have never looked at a gorilla. They have never seen the size of the biceps of a gorilla. It's just like something. I mean, you can't. Yes, you know, or an ox, you know, or there's a whole bunch of animals that are. So no, thanks for that. Look, Brad, we ran out of time today, but I'm looking forward to have you again with us next time on the show with more Bible insights. Thank you so much for this Bible study. So interesting. It's
pleasure.
Amazing to see thank you very much. It's quite amazing, to see how much the Bible has to say about health, isn't it, Lawson?
Absolutely. Hey, very interesting, very informative, and it's amazing to see that God has a holistic plan for our life, not just for our salvation, but also for our wellness too, which definitely contribute to each other.
You're listening to the Breakfast Show podcast on Faith FM, positively different.
You're listening to The Breakfast Show on Faith FM with Scaffy and Lawson. And this is the second hour of our show where we're going to be digging deeper into the Bible. And we're back online, Lawson. The first part of our show, Lawson and I were having a blast. We had an absolute amazing show. We spoke about how crosses and images of Mary in Chinese churches are being replaced by Xi Jinping's pictures.
Yeah.
We talk about the third... And ancestor of Jesus, whose name was blotted out from his genealogy, and we're looking to his life. We're talking about Lawson's stuck in the mud through the last of his strands of hair. It was an amazing show. Scaffy, like we missed all of that. Well, we had a bit of a network issue here. That being said, the full episode will be available online, so you can watch it and listen to it right after the show, or we're going to make sure that you get to that information.
Absolutely.
But before we get into our Bible study, Lawson, I was just a couple of things here. Yesterday we did a prayer, a special prayer for, all of those who have been affected with the since the October 7 attacks in Israel.
Yeah.
So we prayed for the Jewish community. We're praying that God will be able to allow them to live without fear. And it's particularly here in Australia. Like this is not our war here. And for some reason, people are persecuting or targeting Jews just because they are Jews. They have done absolutely nothing to contribute to further any situation there. We also prayed for the victims, because there are victims in both sides of any conflict, of any war, and there are innocent people that, you know, let me just say this, Lawson, the average person, they just want to live their lives in peace.
Yeah.
They just want to live their lives in peace. They just want to work, to raise their families, you know, to wait until Jesus returns. But there's this minority of people that either want to disrupt, that they want to kill, they want to destroy. This is not the plan of God.
Absolutely.
And some people get caught into that as if that becomes their mission. So, you know, just want to make sure that our Jewish brothers and sisters, they find there's our solidarity, but also our solidarity to the communities that are being afflicted by war as well. In Gaza, in Israel, in Lebanon, our prayers with them, that God will comfort them. And the most important thing, that they will find Jesus Christ.
And this is the hope. This is the hope, I think, is that these people can find their identity in Jesus more than anything else. Yeah. There's neither Jew nor Greek, free nor slave, male nor female. But yeah.
Look, there's. I'll be very vulnerable with you, Lawson, before we get into a quiz section here. Is that the best thing that I can wish for any person is that they can have a saving relationship with Jesus Christ. Mm. Now, I don't necessarily say this to every person, because, you know, when you say the word Jesus right at the bat, you never know how the person's going to interpret that. But I think that for the Christian, for the follower of Jesus, the best thing we can wish upon a person is that they can be one with Jesus.
And I think
there's no other blessing, higher blessing than
that. And I think for a Christian, this isn't a bad thing to wish for them, because we've experienced the life-changing power Jesus. If we believe that Jesus truly is who he says he is, I don't think we are content with people just being in their religion or culture or whatever it may be. And yeah, we know that God has something better for them. And that is Christ.
And of course, respecting their freedom of choice, we're not imposing anything. It has to come from
crusaders,
your own heart.
Yeah.
No. It has to come. Conversion has to come from your own decision, from your own heart. That being said, there's nothing better in my life than knowing Jesus, and I just wish that everybody could have that same experience. All right, with no further ado here, I believe that Rochelle has a new question for us. Now, is this mild, spicy, or medium?
I think we're still at mild. I think we're living mild.
Okay, that's still mild, you know.
Can I just say it's so good to have Shell back beside me.
Oh, Shell is back with us. Shell, welcome back. She had just this amazing, she's just telling me, Lawson, that she is number one in Australia in that walking app.
Yeah.
The one that you walk around places and you claim hexes as your own.
Yeah.
And you she's just like stirring up. Yeah. She's just stirring up the competitiveness in me. It's like, I have to get into this app now and just like start claiming some hexes.
I don't know.
But
Shell is pretty seasoned. Like Shell is in the pro leagues.
I know. Like, we have a
kid. She's built different.
Like a gold medalist here in this studio.
Absolutely. Australian champion for casual walking.
So that you know, Lawson, For those who do not know what a hex is, it's basically a hexagon that is defined. I think that they divided a globe into like hexagons that are round about the same sizes. But Shell was telling me that in Europe, because of the curvature of the earth, by the way, the earth's not flat, everyone. Sorry to break the ice there if that's if that's your thing. Yeah, well, Lawson, sorry, man, if you didn't know this. Apparently, the hexes in different parts of the world are different. So it's an area in the size of a hexagon. And if you walk around that hexagon, you claim that in some apps as your own.
Yeah.
So you kind of become like the king of the hill or the queen of the hill.
Yeah.
Basically,
you gain territory. Yeah. That's kind of the game.
It's gamification of exercise, of walking, which is such a cool idea.
Strava has a similar thing. It's got the local legend thing. And I was like, for my bike ride, when I lost my license last year and I was riding like you know, 40 kilometers and 40 kilometers back. You know, I was doing an 80K round trip ride to work and back to Faith FM. I was like the local legend for that whole road. Like I'm one who's done the most kilometers in the most amount of time. And so it's a pretty good feeling, but Shell is that on steroids, like for like massive pieces of land and area around the Newcastle region. So
that's right.
Shout out producer Shell. Shout out our listeners this morning. And it's cool that we talk about this because getting healthy is one of the best things you can do for yourself.
Yeah.
Engaging in some level of exercise.
And having fun at the same time, having a good time while you're exercising. That's, you know, if you can do this, even better.
Absolutely. And now we're going to exercise our brain.
Okay, let's exercise our brains. Good cue into the quiz segment.
We introduced the quiz like ages ago. Now we're doing it. All right.
Sidetracks. Okay. This is actually a multiple choice. So we'll give the guys a quick chance to get it before we give you the option. So the question is, what king did God smite with leprosy? What king did God smite with leprosy?
I think that that's in the spicy range.
Okay.
Hold on.
Hold on.
Spicy.
Hold on. Which king? I'm just thinking like, there's a few. There's like a few people with leprosy.
It's in Second Chronicles. Does that help?
No.
It helps. No, that helps me. That helps me because it minuses some. Okay.
Look, would say is this, but only with a 60% degree of confidence. Nah.
All right.
My fingers are twitching. Hold on. I need to throw in an answer before we go to
He's
the multiple
He's exercising
choice.
His mind.
Okay, who did God smite with?
Just take your headphones out, Lawson.
I'm just gonna go like this. I'm gonna write this name. I know it's probably
while he's exercising his mind. The number to text us the answer is 0491-064-669.
All right, give us the options.
All right, so let's go for the options.
All right, so option A is Athaliah. Option B is Jehoram. Option C is Amaziah, isn't that who you're talking about now? Amaziah?
Yeah.
And option D is Uzziah.
Yeah, okay.
Uzziah.
That was my second option.
Okay. They know. Now they got the options. They're getting it right.
That's not a correct answer, by the way. But once we get the multiple choices, then, you know, that's way. But hey, if you're listening out there, it's correct answer for you. 0491-064-669. Do you want to give us those answers one more time?
All right. What king did God smite with leprosy? Was it A, Athaliah, B, Jehoram, C, Amaziah, or D, how did you say
Uzziah.
It, Shah? Uzziah.
Oh, Second Chronicles. Yeah. Interesting. Hey, 0491-064-669 is the number to text if you know the answer to that one.
Okay. Very, very good. Now, do we have any text messages, Lawson?
We've just got people answering the quiz. I think, as you were talking about, we did have some form of difficulty with our equipment this morning. We weren't on until about 7:30, so we don't have a lot of comments on the show so far. We have people answering the quiz. Hey, let us know what you've been up to. Let us know. They probably said this to you yesterday. I don't know if you had people writing in, but what you got up to on the long weekend.
That's
if you
right.
had any special moments or times. I know that for me, I got stuck in some mud holes in my car. For producer Shell, she like walked an incredibly far distance. What did she get up to?
I went rock climbing.
Oh, classic.
And,
that's awesome.
Yeah, but then I got a little bit crooked out of that. Oh, I don't know if it was out of that, but I am.
That'll do it, bro.
Rock climbing was great. Yeah. I took my kids with me. My daughter, like, she's six, and she was, like, climbing these, like, massive walls. And she's like, wow, I think she's a natural here.
I think, like, young girls are, like, epic on the rock wall. Like, they're so good. Like, my sister was heaps better at me than rock climbing. Like, my little sister, I would have been eight. She was six or seven, you know, and she was way better than me when I was a kid. And then I eventually kind of caught up and then went from there. But yeah, just, I don't know. These girls, they're just hectic ass. Just climbing around.
There you go.
Spider women, you know.
Very good. All right. So, Lawson, why don't we go into our Bible study then?
I love Sky's message asking everyone what they got up to on the long weekend. Our number, by the way, is 0491-064-669. Sky made the most of it. She worked. She made holiday pay. She got the
there
big
There you
bucks.
Go.
Yeah.
Wow. You know?
Yeah.
That's, you know, getting ahead a little bit, you know?
Absolutely. So
Getting the public holiday rates.
All right, where are we hanging out, Bible-wise? Book of John, I'm assuming.
John, yes, you're assuming right, Lawson. It's in chapter 6. We're going to continue seeing the discourse that happened after the multiplication of the fish and loaves in John chapter 6.
Okay.
Okay.
John chapter 6. I'm right here. I'm ready to go.
Okay.
What's the go, Scaffy? Where are we going to read from?
All right. Let's read here from verse 26 onwards.
Verse 26, the Bible says this, Jesus answered them and said, "Truly, truly, I say to you, you seek me not because you saw signs, but because you ate some loaves and were filled. Do not work for the food that perishes, but for the food that lasts for eternal life, which the Son of Man will give you. For on him the Father, God, has set his seal." Therefore, they said to him, "What are we to do so that we may accomplish the works of God?" And Jesus answered and said to them, "This is the work of God, that you believe in him who he has sent." And so they said to him, "What then are you doing as a sign so that we may see you and see and believe you? What work are you performing? Our fathers ate manna in the wilderness, as it is written, he gave them bread to eat out of heaven."
Okay, let's just pause here for a sec.
This is so funny, bro. This makes me laugh, like,
it makes
a little bit.
Yeah, it does. It does make you laugh, right? Yeah. It does make me laugh. Actually, I'm more like, makes me cringe.
Yeah.
A little bit here of the unbelief. So what happened here is that, you know, after Jesus multiplied the loaves and the fish, you know, there's this story here that, you know, Jesus walking on the water. And then after that, you know, Jesus came back to the shore and some people came to debrief with him.
Yeah.
Some people came to ask Jesus. And Jesus says, number one, he says, "Hey, truly, truly, I said to you, you seek me not because you saw signs, but because you ate the loaves and were filled." What does Jesus mean by that? And what's the quarreling that's going to happen here with the Pharisees? Well, we're going to find out after.
Yeah. You're listening to The Breakfast Show. Connect with us on 0491 064 669.
So Jesus is basically saying to them here, and he says, look, do not work for the food that perishes, but for the food which endures for eternal life. Okay, so he's making a statement here of priorities.
Yeah.
Okay, this is what is, you know, the real food that you want to be working for is the food that gives you eternal life.
Yeah.
And people ask, okay, so what are these works that we might do? What are these works of God that we can do? Say, oh, the works of God that you have to do just to believe in him. This is the only work you have to do. Everything stems from faith.
Yeah.
Nothing is a matter of works. It's only a matter of faith. And once you have faith in God, then the works come as a result of your faith. But the only thing that Jesus, the only imperative here is that have faith in the Son of Man.
Which is like, I feel like everything Jesus is saying here is pretty straightforward. The answer is pretty straightforward.
They're very
like,
straightforward.
It's like, yep, yeah, okay, we have to, you know, it's like, what do we do to make it? He's like, just believe. Have faith. Then verse 30 comes in. This is their response
verse
to
30.
Jesus saying, have faith after he's fed them miraculously.
Yeah, and they're basically saying, hey, so what sign, what miracle will you do so that we actually may have faith in you?
Yeah.
Jesus had just fed the 5,000 men, plus women and children, there's like 20,000 people.
Yeah.
With 5 loaves of bread and 2 fishes. And they're asking him, hey, what other sign can you make? You know, because we're not really impressed.
Yeah.
We're not impressed. And the reason why they are not impressed is they said, our fathers ate the manna in the wilderness. That is written, he gave them bread out of heaven to eat. And say, hey, If you want us to believe in you, so why don't you make bread fall from heaven?
Yeah.
How about that for a sign? then we might believe you.
Yeah.
So what did Jesus do?
Oh, man.
How did we respond to that?
Good question.
Challenge.
Yeah.
Let's read.
Jesus then said to them, truly, truly, I say to you, it is not Moses who has given you bread out of heaven, but it is my Father who gives you true bread out of heaven. For the bread.
Let's pause here just for a second.
Yeah.
Say, hey, Moses didn't do that miracle.
Yeah.
You believed in Moses, don't you? Well, he didn't make bread come from heaven.
Yeah.
it was God who sent it from heaven, period. Mm-hmm. It was not that Moses, you know, every day Moses would wake up in the morning, put his hands up and say, Lord, please send bread from heaven. Moses didn't do that miracle, period. And you believed in him. It's the Father who gives the bread that comes from heaven. And let's see what happens next. What Jesus says next.
Verse 33, the Bible says this. For the bread of God is that which comes down out of heaven and gives life to the world. Then they said to him, Lord, always give us this bread.
Okay. So he's saying here, the true bread that my Father gives is the bread that has descended out from heaven and has come into this world to give life.
Yeah.
Jesus is starting to point here, I am the bread of life.
Yeah.
I am the living manna. I am the bread of heaven. Like, this is the bread that is actually going to give you eternal life. Because you could eat manna. People ate manna and they died. But those who would eat from the bread that Jesus has to give, from himself, well, then they will have eternal life. And then people said, okay, we want this bread. And people, I think, here, Lawson, they were thinking, hey, can you give this physical bread that comes from heaven that gives eternal life? They're still not getting it.
Yeah. I think Jesus is always enticing people into coming to an understanding of the crucial role that he plays in their life and in their salvation. You know, I think of the woman at the well in John chapter 4. He does something, you know, similar. He's like, you know, the water that I have, you know, you'll drink it, it'll never thirst.
Yeah. Yeah.
And she says, Lord, give me this water that I may draw. They're saying here, Lord, give us this bread. Yeah, always give us this bread. Like, we want bread that we can eat, that will, you know,
live forever.
That gives life to the world. And it's through these, like, he entices them in to the point where they see that, oh, wait, like, there is something better than this temporal world. And then we come to verse 35 here. Jesus said to them, I am the bread of life. The one who comes to me will not be hungry, and the one who believes in me will never be thirsty. But I say to you that you have indeed seen me, and yet you did not believe.
Okay, so Jesus said, this is the first I am statement in the Gospel of John. There are seven I am statements, and Jesus says, I am the bread of life.
Yes.
And he who comes to me will not hunger.
Yeah.
He who believes in me will never thirst.
Mm.
So Jesus is talking here like, I am the desire of your souls. I am the true fulfilling. And let me just pause here for a second. I want to talk to our to you, radio neighbor. Do you have desires? What desires do you have? Is it for peace? Is it for safety? Is it for prosperity? Is it for love? Jesus is the answer to every single human desire there is.
Wow.
You will never be satisfied by eating the bread that is made out of human hands, so to speak. You will never be satisfied with what this world has to offer. Even the finest of things, true love, amazing family. Well, these things are a blessing in and of themselves, but they will not satisfy the deep crevasses of your soul. The only thing that can fill that immense, infinite hole that has a God shape in it, that exists in every single heart of a human being, can only be fulfilled by one entity in the universe.
Mm-hmm.
It's called Jesus Christ.
Yeah. Yeah, I really agree. And I really agree from the sense, you know, I think that, as you said, I love you made the statement there, like, even though these things are good, like a good marriage, an amazing family, financial security, all these things, like, add to making your life more comfortable and more enjoyable.
Yeah.
And I wholeheartedly agree that is true. But then I think we see the symptoms of sin when we see people with situations like this in their life, and for some inexplicable reason, like, throw it away. I think one of the best examples of this is, like, marital infidelity.
Okay.
Just to give an example.
All right. Okay. Let's talk about that.
If a good relationship and a good family is so good, then how could someone be deceived into thinking that they could add anything in their life, into their life, through marital infidelity, when almost every every instance, I'm not going to say almost, every instance of marital infidelity leads to massive amounts of pain. Either it's pain for your partner, and, you know, through what you're doing with them. And let's say it's like an ongoing, long-standing infidelity that you continue and that is maybe becomes something that your partner has knowledge about, but doesn't necessarily want to address or do anything about. You're just like hurting them 24/7, or it brings massive pain to you as well. Because then that partner decides to break up with you and end your family. But let's say no one finds out. Then there's the constant torture of your guilty conscience and the lies and the disconnection between you and your partner and the rest of your family. Like there is only pain that can be brought.
Yeah.
Despite you've got it made, you've got it sorted out, and you are like actively inflicting pain onto yourself because you think that there's something out there that's better. And it's like, well, man, how does that even happen? And that is because, like,
and you know, let me tell you this, Lawson, and I won't share, you know, any details here.
Yeah.
But as a pastor, I do talk to people that, you know, and they come to talk to me about, you know, marital infidelities. And one of the things that all of them said,
yeah,
they said, it was not worth it.
It's never worth it. But then it's like, but they've got it made. They've got like the wife and the family and the job and the finances. And it's like, man, well, how did that happen? How did that happen? Like, why did they seek for something else? And that is the only thing that could satisfy us and enable us to be a person of character, to have hope for the future. All these things is the presence of God in our life. And maybe you're thinking like, Lawson, how can you blame people for marital infidelity? Because how can you say the cause of that is not having God? And I think it's just pretty obvious. Like, the thing that enables you to live a life of self-control, of true love, of contentment.
Because some people say, oh, but my marriage is not happy, my marriage is not this. But look, the happiness that comes from God, if this book that we're reading here is saying the truth.
Yeah.
Is a joy that surpasses all understanding.
Yeah.
That means that it should be surpassing even whatever marital problems you would have.
You're listening to the Breakfast Show podcast on Faith FM. Positively different.
This is the best table for you to start your day with positive and uplifting thoughts. And before we continue on our Bible study, we have a quiz question that we would like to answer. So, Shells, what was the question again? And what's the next quiz?
So our question was a multiple choice question. And the question was, what king did God smite with leprosy? And we had some people getting it right. It was D, Uzziah. I can't say that word.
I'll say, you say Uzziah. I think Uzziah.
I thought it was Uz.
Uzziah.
Yeah.
Yeah, you can say Uzziah. Or you, it's with a U.
Uzziah. Like you know?
Yeah. Uzziah. Yeah.
Uzziah. Yeah. I don't know.
All right. I'll take all the above.
Yeah.
Okay. Our next question is a fill in the blank.
Yep.
Okay. All right, so give it to us. Lamentations 3:22-23. The steadfast love of the Lord never ceases. His mercies never come to an end. They are blank, blank, blank. Oh. Great is your faithfulness.
I love this passage.
Ooh, they're typing. Who's going to get it first? Who's got the quicker fingers? Yes, I think so.
don't read my answer.
Who always has the funniest ones? All right, so that the Bible verse with the fill in the blanks is, it's Lamentations 3:22-23, and it's the steadfast love of the Lord never ceases. His mercies never come to an end. They are blank, blank, blank. Great is your faithfulness.
Which reminds me of that song. Great is your faithfulness.
That's
great
awesome.
Is
dude,
your faithfulness.
You're on a karaoke thing.
That's twice today.
There you go. Morning by morning, new mercies I see. Yeah. Love that one. All right.
Amazing, mate. We need to do some radio karaoke, you know. Replace some of the songs with
Lawson and Scaffy.
singing along.
All right, so let's get back. Oh, actually, we have a text message here, Lawson. Would you like to read that one?
Yeah, so we were talking about, like, relationships and a lack of contentment and stuff like that. Skyrodin, she said this. She said, a big part of my life was bad choices made from fear. And she said this, you know, I had no self-esteem, no belief I'd be okay on my own because I was lonely. I felt alone. And in desperation, we cling to an illusion that we can handle someone who isn't what they appear. And to this day, the memories haunt me. Sorry to overshare, but I pray for young ones. Don't make my mistake. Yeah. I think she's sharing some amazing wisdom here, unfortunately from experience. But praise God, she has a testimony to share that is reflective of, hey, like, I wasn't content in my situation. I then made some bad decisions out of the hope that they would work out well.
So that I could escape not being just by myself, not being alone. And that ended up being very hard.
Making it worse.
Yeah, it is better to stay single than to be with the wrong person, for absolutely sure. 100%. Thank you so much for sharing that. And yeah, I actually, Lawson, I have to say, I think that one of, I'm quite critical of my own sermons. Like,
yeah.
I like preparing and preaching them when I, you know, but then after I preach them, I say, God, it was probably not very good, but it's all right. Okay. I'm learning and in
classic. Drink.
However, there is maybe like two sermons that I really enjoyed preaching. Like, okay, this sermon is like,
this is actually good.
I know exactly what you're talking about. You know what I'm talking about?
Yeah.
I think that God was really like giving a much bigger help in that case. And one of them is called What Is Your Desire? You can find it online. You can just Google What Is Your Desire by Joseph Scaff.
Yeah.
And it is a sermon about the story of the wives of Jacob and their competition of having kids. And the idea is like, okay, it's about contentment, really. How to find contentment. And what is the thing that you're desiring so much? And how can that desire be found in God? So I just wanted to just throw it out there, you know, particularly for, you know, young people. I actually had a number of young women that came to me and said, hey, Scaffy, I've listened to this sermon like again and again.
Wow.
And it really helps me, you know, when I am, you know, feeling lonely. I watch this sermon. It really gives me a lot of strength.
Yeah.
So, you know, there's preached hundreds of sermons. I cannot say that all of them were good. I'll say you can listen and I think you'll be blessed.
Dude, when you have experience preaching, you've got the sermons that you cringe at, the sermons that's like, I know my worst sermon ever. Like I remember it, you know, as clear as day. But also like praise God when we can preach the word and it touches people's hearts. And I believe what we're reading right now is touching our hearts and touching the hearts of listeners as well, writing in, with their experience here. What Jesus is saying here in verse 35, I am the bread of life. The one who comes to me will not be hungry, and the one who believes in me will never be thirsty. But I said to you that you have indeed seen me, and yet you have not, you do not believe. Everything that the Father gives me will come to me, and the one who comes to me I will certainly not cast out. For I have come down from heaven not to do my own will, but the will of him who sent me. And this is the will of him who sent me, that of everything that he has given me, I will lose nothing, but will raise it up on the last day.
Now, can I just do a little pause here in our Bible safari?
Yeah.
This is also one of my favorite verses, and this is a verse to treasure and to cherish.
Mm-hmm.
John chapter 6 in verse 37.
Yeah.
All that the Father gives me will come to me, and the one who comes to me, I will certainly not cast out.
Yeah.
A lot of people struggle with, and I think that all of us can relate to, you know, in one degree or another, about being rejected, being abandoned, not receiving. Jesus is not that. Jesus says, whoever comes to me with a sincere heart, that person will never be cast out. I'll never reject anyone that comes to me. So whenever you're feeling like not loved, not liked, not accepted, know that in Jesus, he said, you can claim him, his promises. God, know this. He accepts every single person that comes to him. The condition here is very simple. It's with a sincere heart. Because God rejects the proud. Okay? Because if we're proud, really, our ego is our God.
Yeah.
There's no place. So I just wanted to make a mention of that passage here. Let's keep going here because I want to read from verse 41, Lawson. Read it for us.
So verse 41, continuing in verse 40, the Bible says, "For this is the will of my Father, that everyone who sees the Son and believes in him will have eternal life, and I myself will raise him up on the last day." So then the Jews were complaining about him because he said, "I am the bread came down from out of heaven." And they were saying, "Is this not Jesus, the son of Joseph, whose father and mother we know? How does he say, I have come down out of heaven?" Jesus answered and said to them, "Stop complaining among yourselves. No one can come to me unless the Father who sent me draws him, and I'll raise him up on the last day. It is written in the prophets, and they shall all be taught of God. Everyone who has heard and learned from the Father comes to me. Not that anyone has seen the Father except the one who is from God. He has seen the Father. Truly, truly, I say to you, the one who believes has eternal life. I am the bread of life. Your fathers ate manna in the wilderness and they died. This is the bread that came down out of heaven so that anyone may eat from it and not die. I am the living bread that came down out of heaven. If anyone eats from this bread, he will live forever. And the bread which I will give for the life of the world also is my flesh."
That's right. The Jews were complaining here. They're saying, "Okay, how come you're saying that you come down from heaven? Like, we know you. Aren't you the son of Joseph, the son of Mary? Don't you know you and your family?" They're taking offense. And this is a theme, Lawson, throughout the Gospels, particularly in the Gospel of John. One of the themes is that there is a spiritual nature to the teachings of Jesus.
Yeah.
He's often using metaphors. He's often using symbols. He's often talking in parables that, he's using objects of the real world to talk about spiritual truths. Mm-hmm. And a lot of times people, that are around Jesus, they had a difficult time and they're interpreting everything that he said too literally. And they were just like, and that was a sign of resisting the Spirit of God here, resisting what Jesus was saying. We see, for example, Nicodemus. Jesus says, "Truly, truly, I say to you, unless a man is born out of water and of the Spirit, he cannot see the kingdom of heaven." And what did Nicodemus say? Born again after being old? And Jesus said, "Look, how are you going to understand the things of heaven if you don't understand the things of earth?"
Yeah.
So there's a hermeneutical key here. A Bible interpretation key is that when we're reading something, we have to ask ourselves, okay, is this literal or is this metaphorical or is this both? Sometimes it can be both.
Yeah.
Okay, but we have to ask this question, okay, is there a spiritual meaning here? Is that a symbolic meaning?
Yeah.
And some books, some passages are going to be tending more towards the symbolism, spiritual meaning. For example, the book of Revelation or the Gospel of John here, the signs. Jesus is teaching us how to interpret himself, the Bible. So if he is the bread of life, well, so when he was making a miracle to heal the blind, guess what he also is? He is the light of the world. So all of his miracles, Jesus is doing very intentionally to say, this is who I am.
Yeah.
This is what I'm doing for you.
Yeah. And it gives some level of understanding of his function. You know, he is the person who sustains life. He is the person who gives understanding, who, you know, when you read verses in the Old Testament, you know, I'm thinking particularly from, I believe it's the book of Numbers, like the book of Numbers is talking about, oh, isn't it God who enables you to like earn money and explaining why we give tithe. It's like, oh yeah, because, you know, God enabled you to, this is Jesus speaking to them. And there's, hey, that's me. Like, I'm the one who gave you skill, understanding, all these things to be able to have life itself.
You're listening to the Breakfast Show podcast on Faith FM. Positively different.
We Breathe Out My Vision. Lawson, did I tell you already that this is one of my favorite hymns of all time?
Yeah, you did. Yeah. And I'm really happy for you because that's a beautiful song.
Yeah.
You know.
I love that song. I was even tempted to sing again. Should we do a sing-along, Lawson? Like, today's a bit of a sing-along show for some reason. And just, you know, thinking like, you know, feeling like singing today.
Absolutely.
Be thou my vision.
Oh, I'm supporting
God
your dreams.
Of my life.
Okay. We need an album. That's what we need. Then we can pump Joseph.
Scaffy and Lawson. Yeah. Imagine if
the
we
Breakfast
say.
Breakfast Show album.
The Breakfast Show album.
Yeah.
You're listening to the Breakfast Show 100%. Album. This was Beat Down My Vision by Scaffy and Lawson on the Scaffy and Lawson Breakfast Show.
Dude, I'm keen. Let's go. Cool. All right. We need to get in the studio with some instruments and give her a bell. See what we can
That's
do.
That's right. You bring the guitar and I'll bring the voice. And if we make
bring
some mistakes,
that
well.
Voice, our, that Scaffy yeah. voice.
Yeah. Yeah. If we do any mistakes, I know that our radio neighbors will forgive us. Let's give away the quiz answer to that question here. So
no, right. I'm not going to sing the answer to the quiz.
Oh, okay. That was my idea. I was just going to say that. Okay.
All right. So we had a fill in the blank. It was Lamentations 3:22-23. The steadfast love of the Lord never ceases. His mercies never come to an end. They are
renewed every morning.
New every morning.
Oh, we're all singing.
Every morning. Great is thy faithfulness, O God.
Yeah.
There you go. Shout out to producer. Like, man, that's awesome. It's a great song. I love that song. You know, God's mercies are like, imagine you woke up and you can think, the first thing you can think of, wow, God's mercies have just been renewed.
Yeah. They're fresh.
Yeah, they're fresh.
They're fresh to me.
This is why, actually, this verse encouraged me to pray every day. Because I say, you know what? I have to claim my blessings for the day.
Yeah.
Because they have an expiry date. You cannot just pray, God, can you bless the rest of my life? And then tomorrow, guess what? They faded. You have to claim God's blessings every day if you want to have the fresh batch of mercies for your life. All right. Lawson, I think this is it.
This is it.
We've come to the end of our show. Yes, we have Jason Cook and his friends in Tazzy Encounters right after that. So stay tuned to that. You know, they're going to be talking about amazing, relevant spiritual topics from the Bible for you. And Lawson, what do you like about our show today? What's give me some key takeaways.
Yeah, again, I really enjoyed our Bible study. I enjoyed that we got to talk about and consider how important Jesus is, his presence in our life to enable a life that actually has satisfaction. And this is the thing. It's like, oh, so it's like Jesus and then all the other good stuff. It's like, no, Jesus, in spite of any good or bad that we could have, Jesus is the thing that enables us to have contentment, that enables us
I love that.
To have joy. And through difficulties, and through trials and tribulations, as well as, you know, times of rejoicing and happiness, like with Jesus, we'll always have true contentment.
Very good.
Yeah.
My takeaways from that passage, I just like want to make a little application from that passage that we read, which I believe that our listeners didn't quite catch that because we were off air while we were discussing it, but we will. They can access it through the podcast. We're talking about the story of Amaziah and how God said that he should not punish the sins of children in their parents or vice versa. And I just want to say this, that often, just a little application, often we, someone has caused hurt to us, and by default, we want to blame the group that they belong, or we want to blame someone of their family, or someone sometimes they just look alike to them.
Yeah.
And just saying, resist that temptation. Part of, I think, what's happening with the hate, you know, the religious intolerance and the hate crimes that are happening all over the world, particularly against the Jews, is a result of that. I want to punish you for something that your government has done or your country has done. Well, if your country or your government has done something terrible, and if they have done something, unrighteous, whatever it is, well, who am I to judge that person? That person has nothing to do with it, you know, just because of that. So forgiveness also includes making sure that we are separating the sins of the parents or governments, if you want, from the actual people that belong to that. All right, this is it for today. Tomorrow we have more blessings for you. Don't forget to talk faith, live faith, and act faith.
God be with you till we meet again.
Thanks for being a part of the Faith FM family. Join our community on Facebook or get in touch at 1-800-FAITH-FM.